Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians from chapter 3, a single verse, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, through whom we are children of God, and in whom our prayers are heard, fellow redeemed. Why do you do what you do? Let me qualify that. Why do you hold your current occupation? Was it a childhood dream? Did you pretend as a child that you would do the job that you currently occupy? Was it just a good opportunity? Did you come upon your current job out of the blue and say, I'll try that for a while? Was it a necessity? Were you looking for a job and the Lord dropped it in your lap? It's pretty safe to say that we all have different reasons in our minds for why we do what we do. I can remember pretending to be a pastor, for example, but it was never a childhood dream to wear the black robe. After graduating from Emmanuel Lutheran High School, I went back to college simply because that's where my friends were. I didn't have any aspirations of becoming a pastor. I never dreamt of following in my father's footsteps. I had different reasons. In the course of time, it became clear to me that this is God's course for me. Let me ask you another question. Why are you here this morning? Have we come for different reasons? Is it merely social? Do we see this as an opportunity to get together with, to visit family, friends, and close acquaintances? Is it for appearances' sake? Do we attend for others so that they see that we're here? Or is it personal? Do you come here to confess your sins to your God and to find comfort in the announcement of your forgiveness through Jesus' shed blood? Do you see this as an opportunity to praise your God for all that your God has done for you? Or to put it another way, is it all about you or is it all about Him? While we may come here because of the personal spiritual benefits received through word and sacrament, the focus of our worship is always Christ. Christ is the reason, after all, that we worship. We confess our sins to God, knowing that we have forgiveness because of Christ. We listen to God's word read to us, and we strive to apply to our hearts to strengthen our faith in Christ. We sing praise to the God of the Bible who reveals Himself to us through Christ. We have forgiveness for all sins through faith in Christ. It is for this reason that we are here urged as Christians and children of God to, in a manner of speaking, be hoarders of the word of Christ. We are urged to fill our hearts and minds with that word, using it to teach and to admonish ourselves and one another. And if our hearts are so filled with Christ's word, then it can't help but overflow into godly worship and praise. Let us pray. Lord God, merciful Father, I praise you for the light of this day, when by your Spirit you will shine in my heart through the preaching and teaching of your gospel. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful truths of your salvation and find new strength and hope in your promises. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word throughout your church. Cause your gospel to fall as good seed on good ground and bear fruit. Give power and conviction to your pastors that their testimony to your holiness and grace may ring clear and true to your revealed word. Keep me from mere formality in my worship, from paying with the lips while the heart is far from you, from failure to listen to your word, considering it as a message from you. Help me to bring my burdens and leave them here at the foot of the cross. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Hoarders, Pastor? Really? Isn't hoarding a disorder and a disease? Isn't it wrong to consider God's word to be our possession, mine, mine, only mine? Isn't God's word something we're given to share with others, not stuff in a closet? Of course, I'm not making light of the hoarding disorder. I'm only saying that we are to be hoarders in this sense, that we are to fill our hearts and minds to overflowing with the words of Jesus, our Savior. We are to empty every dusty corner in our hearts and minds, throw out every skeleton in the closet, and fill that space with Jesus' promises. If we don't, then there will perhaps be times when our worship is a matter of formality and not a matter of the heart. There will be times when we go to worship for reasons other than giving praise to God. How can you say that, Pastor? You don't know my heart? No, I don't. But I know my own. And I know that we all have the same basic problem, a sinful nature. It's the old man, our sinful nature, that refers to that passing motorist as an idiot who dug his license out of a Cracker Jack box. It's the old man that's too embarrassed and too self-conscious to pray aloud in a busy restaurant. It's the old man that likes to laugh at the way other students dress. It's the old man that delights in passing on the latest gossip, all the while pretending that we're really concerned about the person whose name we're maligning. It's the old man that doubts God's promises and worries about the bills. It's the old man that laughs heartily at the dirty joke just so no one will know. It's the old man that stands in judgment of everyone except himself. That's why God's word urges us to put off the old man and to put off our earthly sinful desires. It's the Holy Spirit who has taken up residence within us that enables us to say no to the old man. A new man has been raised up within each of us that desires to be compassionate, that wants to bear with one another in love, to forgive, to let the peace of Christ rule, and be thankful. But it's a bit like having two drivers to one car. The old man is a tough old bird, a good old boy. We know what he likes. He likes to be self-centered. He likes to feel good. He likes to be like everyone else. The new man seeks God's glory. The new man needs the word of Christ to remain strong, which is why we, both saint and sinner, are urged to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Let the word of Christ inhabit you as if your body and mind were its house and home, filling every nook and cranny with its blessed spiritual wisdom. You know, when you attended Sunday school and confirmation class, you were asked to memorize Scripture. It wasn't merely busy work intended to keep your adolescent minds distracted. The goal was to fill up your minds and hearts with treasures and weapons that you could use later in life. When the pastor prints the Bible readings on the back of the bulletin for home devotions, his purpose is not to give you one more thing to do during the week to keep you distracted. The goal is rather that your hearts and minds be equipped for every spiritual challenge that you face throughout the week. But we aren't merely to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of Christ like a hoarder stuffing one more thing into an already full closet. We are to use that Word in all wisdom. We need to take the time to meditate upon, to think about the Word of Christ. Whenever we hear the Word, we're to ask, what does this mean to me? What can I learn from this? What is my Savior trying to warn me about here? And if the answer isn't immediately evident, keep digging. You'll get to the bottom of it. And the more you mine and search the Word of Christ, the more gems you will find. And there's also a direct corollary. The more you grow in faith through the Word, the more your troubles and your fears will grow smaller. You see, the Colossian Christians to whom these words were first written were being distracted and disturbed by some who wanted to replace the gospel of Christ with legalism. In other words, they told them that it wasn't enough just to believe in Jesus, that Jesus had done everything. They had to add to what Jesus did their own obedience to certain rules and regulations. The Spirit of God urged them to get back to the source, to not be distracted. All week long, we are distracted, aren't we? We're distracted from Christ by the things of this life. We need to get back to the source. And so we gather here each and every Sunday. But Satan doesn't take a day off. He's also successful on the Lord's Day. What are the things that can distract us, even on Sunday? Well, let's start with this. Who's here and who isn't here? Instead of listening to the Word of Christ, sometimes it's easy to think to ourselves, well, you know, so-and-so's not here. They really could benefit from this sermon. The problem isn't only potential hypocrisy, but being distracted from applying the message to our own hearts. How about our plans for the day? Now that the weather has turned beautiful, it's easy to be distracted by it and to think, wow, what can I do today since it's not cold and snowing? Well, let's stay focused and not be distracted by the beautiful weather. There'll be time to enjoy it. In the meantime, let's apply the Word to our hearts. There are other things that distract us, babies and noises sometimes, but that'll get better. The same message. Pastor always says the same thing over and over. Well, there's only one gospel of Christ, and it better be the predominant message in our worship. After all, it's all about Christ, right? In a way, it's almost like we need to be reminded each and every Sunday, all over again, I'm here because I need Jesus. I can't stand on my own. Left to my own devices and desires, I'd turn away from Him. I'm here to worship because Jesus fulfilled God's law for me. I'm here to worship because He died to take away my sin and remove my guilt. When our hearts are thus focused on Christ, then our lips will overflow with His praise. The rest of the verse, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Worship is a personal thing, isn't it? A personal thing because we direct our praises individually to the Lord. When we sing hymns, or when the children or church choir sing, let's remember that we are singing to the Lord. We sing to glorify Him and Him alone. When we sing, we can also listen to those words and be edified and strengthened by them. But worship is also a corporate thing. We do it together. We together direct our praise heavenward using psalms taken from Scripture's hymn book. We use hymns, godly expressions of scriptural truth. Think of all the believers in the Scriptures who've done that. Mary, Zacharias, David, others responded to God's grace with song. And so do we. And these songs always serve to glorify Christ, who paid the price to set us free. It's our privilege. For it is written, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Christ is the reason we gather for worship, his word, the focus of our attention. Christ, the reason why we offer up songs of praise. May God bless us through the word of Christ, that we may grow in wisdom and maturity and join to sing his praise now and to continue our songs of praise in eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.